Hebrews 11 in your Bible, and I appreciate you turning over there. Chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. I was thinking here on the platform, it might be easier just to recognize those that are here and not those that are not here, because we have a long list of folks. And it does happen every so often, and usually it's around Christmas that we have a Sunday like this, but I'm so glad that you're here, and I think God has something for us, and I want you to hear what the Lord has, even though this is a little bit different here. Hebrews chapter 11, we've been looking at the first few verses, and we saw verse 4 last week about Abel and his worship of the Lord, and how important that faith is to worship. You know, we get caught up in our generation, in our time, that worship has to do with music, that this is our worship service. So we have more music. The choir sings during the worship service, and we have more special music, and we do more. That's not really it. We find that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4, the heart of worship is faith. And whatever God has asked you to go through right now, whatever challenges He's laid at your doorstep, then the issue of trusting Him in those things are how you ultimately worship Him. And He is honored when you, by faith, you just have wonderful confidence and hope in Him. And then in chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, this is the second gentleman here that the Lord has record of, that He wants to challenge our hearts about faith, and it has to do not with worship, but it has to do with walking with the Lord. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now, Enoch is a man who appears in both the Old Testament and New Testament. He's an important Bible character. He has some important prophecy there in Jude. The Bible speaks of it, about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, we ought to pay attention. And Enoch was a very unique person in that he never died. He never had to go through the experience. Now, I'm thankful as a believer that the Lord speaks of dying as falling asleep. And numerous times in the New Testament, He talks about for the Christian that that day, if the Lord should not come back during our lifetime for us and we have to leave this earth, then it's going to be like falling asleep. We'll close our eyes in this life and open our eyes, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, absent from the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord, that we're going to enjoy the presence of the Lord. So we'll close our eyes like we're going to sleep in this earth, and then we'll pass on to be with the Lord, which is fantastic. Open our eyes and be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. But Enoch never had that happen. Well, we were talking in Sunday school, in our Sunday school class, about how that, you know, God created all these animals. Their lifespans are usually shorter than human beings. And that, without a doubt, the Lord, the animals speak of His love for variety, but it also speaks of the fact that the Lord has a way of teaching us about life. And everybody has a favorite dog or bird or goldfish that passed away and it broke your heart maybe when you were younger. And you, for the first time, you learned something about life and death. But Enoch never died. And the Bible, let me read. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, perhaps one of the most monumental verses in the Bible on trusting God and believing God. And if right now everything's going well, and you are not particularly called upon, I don't think that's true, but if you may feel that today, it's good for you to store this away, because around the corner some challenges are coming. You're going to have to trust the Lord. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, when I was in third grade, which was many decades ago, about the time school was invented. And I had a teacher. Her name was Mrs. Wilson. And I remember she is a wonderful lady, a great third grade teacher. She was hard on us. She really was. We had homework every night. And I look back, I hated it at the time, but I appreciate that I learned my times tables and things like that. And she worked with us constantly on those things. And she was just an excellent teacher and educator. But once a week, we would go down to the school library. And when we went down there, I discovered a row of books that I fell in love with that year. And every week, I checked out another one. You got to check out one book, and you got to bring it home and read it, and then you had to bring it back on library day, or you'd get fined. But in this row of books were biographies. And I didn't even know what a biography was. In fact, I was reading those. I didn't know what they were, but I sure enjoyed it. It was the life of a whole group of famous people. Some of them came from colonial times, and some of them were more current. But every one of those little books were written on a child's level, and they were about 100 pages, and you could sit down and read through them. I just fell in love with those books. But one thing I noticed was that in each of these famous people, these successful people, that along the way, every single one of them, when you got down to the last three or four pages, you knew it was coming, they were going to die. They were going to pass from the earth. And in fact, you know, you'd read through, fascinated about their childhood and where they went to school and all the amazing things that happened to them and how they ended up doing what they did in life. And then you'll always know it's coming. And I don't want to on a potentially another cloudy day in Buford, but the Bible teaches it's coming for every one of us. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, except for those that are alive, by the way, during the rapture when Jesus comes back. But in verses 5 and 6, here is a man who did not die. He was translated, by the way, he is a picture. He's a picture of us, those that live in the church age, that we will escape the judgment of God upon this world. Remember, there was his son Methuselah, and then when Methuselah died, God judged the earth during the time of Noah. But praise the Lord, this man pleased the Lord, and we want to find out how he pleased the Lord. Let me read verse 5 just quickly and mention a few things. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, but was found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. A little discernment about how to please God. You know, back in the Garden of Eden, before man sinned, man had an incredible fellowship and relationship with God. Let me just go back over there. Genesis chapter 3, just real quickly here. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8 describes what had been going on the garden consistently every single day during the lifetime of Adam and Eve until this point. And that was that every day the Lord, in the cool of the day, would come and he would visit and walk and talk with Adam and Eve. And they were able to have fellowship with their Creator personally. They enjoyed fellowship with him. But unfortunately, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, sin entered into the picture. And as a result of that, instead of wanting to come and fellowship with their Creator, they hid themselves. They went and hid themselves in the bushes, and they sewed fig leaves to cover themselves because they were embarrassed, because they realized that they were naked. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I think that had happened every day in their existence since they were created. And they had enjoyed the fellowship of God, but suddenly it's been broken. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees. And in verse 9, and the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And, you know, the basis of our creation, we were created to be able to enjoy a wonderful presence of the Lord constantly. We were created. In fact, one day we will live in heaven and we will be there and enjoy fellowship with the God who created us. I don't know all that God will be doing then. But I know we'll be discussing those things. I don't know what we'll be doing for the Lord ourselves. But I know that we'll be discussing those things with our Creator, the one who made us. But that was suddenly broken by sin. It's sad. There are men who have walked on this earth who enjoyed an extremely close fellowship with their God. For example, Moses. In Exodus 33, I'm not going to get you to go over there, but you might jot that down, Exodus 33, 11. The Lord talks about Moses, that he was a man that the Lord knew face to face. He was a man that lived on a sin-cursed earth, and he was a sinner like you and I, and yet he enjoyed a face-to-face fellowship with the God of heaven, so much so that that he went on behalf of the nation of Israel up that mountain and received those tablets of law and fellowship with God 40 days and 40 nights at the top of the mountain. In the scriptures, there's a man by the name of Abraham, and over in James 2:23, I'm not going to get you to go over there, but it wouldn't hurt, jot that down and look at it yourself later. The Bible calls there Abraham the friend of God. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Wouldn't it be wonderful for God to refer to you as his friend? And that's the way the Lord referred to him. David in 2 Chronicles, he's called a man after God's own heart. And so we have three men, but unfortunately, all of that has been destroyed for human beings because of sin. But let's go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. The Lord Jesus Christ has done something for us. And in Romans 5 and verse 11, the Lord Jesus Christ has made a way for anybody to be made one with the Lord, to restore the fellowship that God designed us to enjoy. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." And it might be good, just when you look at the word atonement, to think at one ment. So God has brought together the fellowship through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's an extremely important issue here this morning for you to be able to have fellowship by faith with the Lord. Now, I've used this illustration over the years. I'm going to use it again. It speaks to my heart, and if you've heard it before, the Lord bless you. If you haven't heard it before, then you will have heard it this morning. But, you know, my in-laws were wonderful people. My father-in-law is with the Lord. My mother-in-law is still living. We're going to be celebrating her 90th birthday in just a few weeks down in Georgia. But when they used to live over in Stockbridge, Georgia, on Swan Lake there, little area outside of Stockbridge. Stockbridge about 30 miles outside of Atlanta proper. We just loved the place. They built a place there. It was a sad day when we had to close things out. My father-in-law had passed away. My mother moved into some elderly apartments. And it's worked out very well, but it was sad for everybody. We had so many memories of lots of Christmases and Thanksgivings and special occasions and birthdays and just being together with family in that place. But I've often thought about it. My in-laws are such hospitable people that if I went by there and I knocked on the door without Denise, without my boys, and I just knocked on the door years ago, and they would have welcomed me. "Chuck, what are you doing here? Boy, it's great to see you. Come, are you hungry? Come on in. We're about to sit down to some supper." Do you need a place to stay? Are you going on home tonight? They would have gladly cleared a bedroom for me and made me comfortable and fed me breakfast, and we would have fellowshipped. Now, I never thought that was simply on the basis of the fact that they had met me and they liked me. I understood there was something in that relationship, and that was their daughter. What caused them to appreciate me was the fact that for some crazy reason, their daughter loved me. And then it also helped when we had grandchildren. That really helped. That just sealed me. I was in there forever. But anyway, I understood very well that they're loved and they're just kind people and hospitable people. But listen, if I just did a little test, if I had gone and just stopped a car and said, "Go over there, knock on their door and see if they'll invite you in and maybe give you a place to stay tonight and give you a nice meal, maybe breakfast, see if they'll do that." My father-in-law had a big shotgun. And you come on his porch, I mean, you get him the wrong way. Listen, I tell you what, get off my property. I don't know who you are. And I understood that there was a relationship that produced the relationship that I ultimately had with my in-laws, which I loved them, and I miss my father-in-law often, and I pray daily for my mother-in-law and the needs that she has, and look forward to celebrating her 90th birthday, and feel as though God has blessed our family with a wonderful treasure of her long life, and pray that the Lord will give her many more till Jesus comes. But that relationship is based on that. My Creator wants fellowship with me, and it's not based on anything that I have ever done. It is based 100% on Jesus Christ and His Son and what Jesus Christ has done for me. He has made a way for at-one-ment to take place, for me to enjoy the presence of God. And now that starts with salvation. And there's a lot of people who are never interested in walking with God and fellowshipping with God daily. And basically it goes back to this. They've never really been saved. They've prayed prayers. They've been religious. They've done things that they see to be spiritual. But they've never really turned from their sins and put their trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and become a marvelous new creature in Jesus Christ. And the result of that is, if I walk with God, so what? I don't really care. If I get anything out of this service, I don't really care. You know, what time is Golden Corral's going to get crowded if he doesn't quit soon? All right. And listen, salvation is the start of that wonderful relationship with the Lord. And not only that, sanctification. Sanctification is where God is restoring the wonderful image of His Son in me. The only way I can be useful to the Lord is for me to look just like Jesus Christ. And so sanctification is God making me useful to Him by restoring His Son, that image of His Son. Romans 8, 28, 29 is very clear. You read it for yourself later on here. But that's what He's doing. And then there's something else that's happening that depends on faith and is involved in my relationship with the Lord. And that's serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. And it takes faith to trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it takes faith to have the right responses when I'm going through the challenges of life and allow the Lord to make me like Jesus Christ. But there's a third thing, and that is the issue of service. God wants me to serve Him. And I was created to serve Him. And I'm learning the elementary things about service on this earth. I'm in training. I'm in training for an eternal job that God has prepared for me in eternity. But right now, I'm serving Him. And service takes faith. You just ask Noah when the Lord gave him a job, and that job was to collect all of the animals, the clean animals, 7 by 7, the unclean animals, 2 by 2, to bring the wood from the mountains and construct a huge ark on which he's going to place all of these animals, his sons and their wives, and all the provisions that they would need during the flood. God instructed him. And he had 120 years job. 120-year job. Don't get tired of the job that the Lord has given you. Don't get tired of it. You have to trust the Lord in those things. And the fourth thing is this that depends on faith, and that is seeking the Lord daily. I remember when I met my wife, we sat by one another in a large lecture class in a Christian college. And my name's Rice, and her maiden name is Rickles, and so we just got plopped right beside one another. We graded one another's papers. I don't know if that's good for the future, but anyway, we graded one another's papers, and we would talk before and after class, and we got closer and became friends, and sometimes I would walk her to her next class or whatever. But, we dated just a little bit, but it wasn't long until, I fell in love with Denise. I think I fell in love with her before she fell in love with me. And I was a little bit concerned about scaring her to death because there was this moment where I said, I want to marry this girl. This is the one that I want to marry. And I was a little afraid that if I just went up to her and said, guess what, I'm going to marry you, that she might never talk to me again. And so I'm thankful that the Lord gave wisdom to take that slowly. But I found out an interesting thing took place. I began to think about her all of the time. You know, I just sitting there and I'm thinking, well, I wonder what she's doing. Or, she said she had a test today. I wonder how that test went. I'll have to ask her at lunchtime to see, what went on, how things went. And she was talking about her mom not feeling well back home. And I just wonder, what's happening to her and how is she? And I just thought constantly about her. And in fact, the most wonderful thing that would happen in the course of a day would be to run in her, probably about 5,000 people on that campus, but to run in her unexpectedly. Oh man, that was the greatest thing in the world to see her. That was fantastic. And so we actually did crazy things. I look back in those days, we did all kinds of crazy things just to carve out a little bit of time so that we could be together and look goo-goo eyes at one another. Oh boy, we were seeking one another. And walking with the Lord is almost exactly the same way. You know, I wonder what the Lord wants me to do about this today. God, please give me wisdom. I've got this challenge, and I've never faced anything quite like this before, but God, you're a God of incredible wisdom. Please, Lord, quicken my mind. Let me come across somebody who has the wisdom to tell me how to handle this or what to do. And Lord, what will I have me to do today? I'm alive, and I'm your servant. What do you want me to do today? What a blessing that you can seek the Lord, and He is constantly on your mind. And unfortunately, many believers grieve the Lord. And there's a distance that develops. They're saved. There are believers who quench the Lord. They resist the direction of the Lord. The Lord does have something for you to do, but you quench, you grieve Him, and you hold Him at a distance. Now, back over in Hebrews, let's go back over there. We were in Romans, we're now in Hebrews again. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, not only do we have a record here of the fact that Enoch is a picture and that he pleased God, but we also have a wonderful pattern of fellowship in his life. And the only way that I am going to walk with God every day, it started when I got saved and trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. It continues through the wonderful process of sanctification. It's there as I serve Him daily and offer my life up a living sacrifice for whatever God wants for me today. As I seek Him and think on Him, He's in all my thoughts, and I want to please Him and honor Him. Then imported here, and that is a wonderful pattern to be able to do that consistently. Because in Hebrews 11 and verse 5, this man must have done this consistently. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And he had his walk and his fellowship with God. He had it down. It was right. It was good. And so how am I able to do that? Well, it starts with a decision. And that decision is this: I want to think right about God. Now, I have two parts in my life. Number one, I have a saved part. I am saved by God's grace. I've become a new creature in Jesus Christ. God has saved my soul. And I love Him, and I'm thankful for Jesus Christ and the new creature that I've become. But I didn't lose my old part. There's an old nature there. And in my old nature, it just resists God. It thinks about God in the wrong way all the time, constantly causing me to want to jump to conclusions that are not true. And so I need to think about the Lord. Hey, let me give you the number one thing. And this is it. God doesn't love me. You know, if the Lord loved me, then He would not be asking me to go through the challenges that He has laid here at my feet. It's not fair. And obviously, He must love others at church more than He loves me, because they stand up and give their testimonies on Wednesday or Sunday night, and they talk about how wonderful the Lord is and how good God is. But you know what? Those things never happen to me. Maybe God just doesn't love me. Well, that's my old nature that's speaking. And it speaks with tremendous authority. However, I have to let my new nature, get my old nature under control. You know, the Bible says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God proved His love once and for all by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. And He loves me so much that He has come and He has indwelt me. And His Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and God loves me. Number two, I have a real problem with the idea that the Lord is in control. You know what? I mean, I can tell myself that. The Lord's in control. I'm getting up today. God's got it. Everything. He's in control. Everything. Nothing's going to touch my life that God has not already approved. He knows what He's asking. He knows what He's doing. I'm just going to trust Him. This is great. Well, I say that, but a lot of days I look and things start happening. I don't know in your life where you get to that point, but there are some adults here who can say, I understand that. And that is that you have realized that life is not a fairy tale. It doesn't always have the happy ending. There is not always the light at the end of the tunnel on this earth. The light at the end of the tunnel and the happy ending is eternity with God in heaven. Life is not a fairy tale. And however, knowing that, I still know the truth. God is in control. God knows exactly how things are working. The third thing here, as far as my thinking, I have to realize that God is aware. How many times have you thought to yourself, boy, I am insignificant. How many people, how many billions of people on this planet? Billions and billions of people. And I'm just one person here and just one email address and one, that's all I am, and a social security number, and I'm nothing out here. But I know that my God is so powerful, so omniscient, that He is aware of everything that touches my life. Sometimes things happen and the devil said, God didn't even know. It probably went right past him. There's so many things that God is doing. Who knows what else beside this little universe that we live in here? Who knows what God is doing out there? I have to think right. God is aware. He does know. Let me go over to Isaiah 41 and verse 10. It's a great passage that says exactly that. Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. The Lord says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. My right hand is a hand of strength. It's the hand of God's direction and providence. And He is aware. He is trustworthy, and He is all wise. Let me go to Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, and let the truths of Romans 11 and verse 33 fill this auditorium. Romans 11, 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. The Bible, every verse is like an exclamation point. But when you find an exclamation point, there's one there. Did you see it? Romans 11, 33. In fact, there's not just one. Let's go. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Exclamation point. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Another exclamation point. And so I need to have some discernment, don't I? I need to understand, make a decision, rather, that I am going to trust God. I am going to have faith in Him. Otherwise, my close walk with Him ends. The Lord takes a step back. Oh, He doesn't leave me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. But I'm grieving and quenching Him because I'm not trusting Him. As we finish here, let me mention this. There's something that the enemy delights in. That's the devil. He does not want God to receive any respect. Exodus 34, 14, the Lord says that He is a jealous God. I don't know if you recognize Exodus 34. 32 is the golden calf. 33 is Moses getting an opportunity to see the glory of the Lord. And then 34 is their continued labors there to build the tabernacle. But in chapter 34, verse 14, the Lord says that He's a jealous God. And, the Lord doesn't want my attention and my focus and my affections on everything else. And I have no time for Him. He wants to be the center of my thoughts. He wants to be the center of my day. And The only way that can happen is I believe him. He wants me to rely and trust on him. Think about him for a minute. Before you say something, before you verbalize something, because he's right there, his presence. Think about him before you do something. Think about him before you act. And think about him before you plan your day. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Denise has come to the piano in just a moment, as we love to do in every service, going to have a gospel invitation. You know, if you're not saved, you can't have any fellowship with God at all. You're cut off. Not only are you dead spiritually, but you are dead to God. That means the only connection between you and the Lord is you're dead. You're dead to God. You need salvation. And that walk with God comes through fellowship in Jesus Christ. Number two, sanctification. There's an issue of faith constantly. And God is looking. Do you trust me? If you look down at what men want in life, on their list of things in a relationship, love is not at the top. That's surprising, isn't it? Because most ladies, that's number one. Their emotions, they love. They want love. A man is respect. And he knows immediately when he receives that respect from his wife, at work, from colleagues. And he knows immediately when he does not receive those things. And the issue with the Lord is this: respect me. Have confidence in me. Trust me. And as he calls for me to go through the wonderful process of sanctification after salvation, where God is restoring his son's image in me so that I could, the world can see Jesus Christ, because they can see Christ in our lives, then my fellowship with him is broken immediately when I don't trust him. When I say, Lord, you can't ask this. This isn't fair. This isn't right. You know, this morning, when you serve the Lord, and God asks you to do something that is difficult or challenging or long, and you know what? Your heart, your fellowship with the Lord can be broken. And this morning, you don't want that to happen. You want the Lord to walk with him by faith. Are you saved? Do you know if you died that you'd go to heaven? If you don't, in just a few moments, we're going to stand to our feet after we pray. And I invite you to meet me here. Let me get you with a person that can take the Bible and show you how to be saved and trust Christ. In fact, this morning, you could, right at your seat, tell the Lord what is on your heart. Oh God, I need forgiveness for my sins. And I want to put my trust right now in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe that I am accepted by you through your Son. Receive me right now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved right at your seat. But you know what? Most important thing you can do is tell somebody else, meet me here. Let me know, and let me tell others that you've received Christ here in this place today. Number three, you may be here in your service to God. God is asking you to go through some difficult things. Maybe he's placed a job in your hands you don't want. Trust him. Walk with him. That moment when you refuse, when your confidence is broken in the Lord, your fellowship is interrupted. Restore it. Father, thank you for the privilege of being in this place today and the great truths here in Hebrews chapter 11. About walking with you. We are nothing if we can't walk in close communion and fellowship with you. It's meant to take place every day. It's a part of all of our waking hours. We're thinking about you, relating life to you, just as we did when we fell in love and we found that person. We thought about them all the time. We thought about what they were doing, and we're thinking about you. And Lord, I pray that we might, through faith, enjoy that wonderful testimony that just like Enoch, we are walking with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.